He will provide those for you so that you can have them and follow along with us. We're looking at Class 101. We're learning about discovering commitment. This is going to become our introduction class to people that are seeking new membership in our church when it is finished. And presently, we're in session 5. You've missed the first 4. If this wets your whistle, so to speak, you can see the sound team at the close of the worship celebration, and they can provide the CDs for you. Or you can go online to our website, and you can see them there. And Ayumi, it's good to see you back from Japan. All right. We, as I said, we are in session 5, and in session 5, we discovered last week as we began that we are learning about the structure of Granada Hills Community Church. Every church has a structure. Some are really terrific, and some not so. And so it's important that as one is contemplating membership in the Granada Hills Community Church family, that they understand what our structure is all about. We are not a church that is desiring any longer to follow after corporate America in the way we are have been structured in part in the past. We looked at how most churches in America operate today, and they follow after a Western concept of structure. They follow like a corporate structure. And I always wondered why corporate structure just kind of chafed against me until several years ago when I was seeking a vision and a mission and the core values of the church then to be able to present. And I found out why it didn't sit well with me. It was because the Spirit of God within me was telling me that it is not a biblical structure. In America, within corporations and so forth, we have voting, we have boards, we have ballots, we have corporate officers, we have Robert's Rules of Order, and so forth and so on. And none of that is in the Word of God. God has given us a structure to follow. And that's what he wants us to follow as a church. Now, given that the fact that we are a quote-unquote church in California, California requires that we are incorporated. So for some things, we have to have a corporation and function as such. We have to name certain people to be officers and that kind of thing. But that is not where our heart is, and that is not how we run the church. We simply, because we're incorporated, we give the state of California what they're asking for, rendering under Caesar what is Caesar's and under Christ what is his. So we're in a process of moving more and more to a biblical structure. So as you look there at page 1 of your notes, it says, how is a church to be structured? And first we saw that a church is a fellowship, and we went through the passages of Scripture pertaining to that. And then we moved on. Not only is the church a fellowship, but it is also a family, and I really like that. We come together and we honor each other. The Scriptures talk about our honoring one another and pursuing this honor in such a way of one another that we try to outdo, if you will, each other in showing honor to one another. The older people are to be treated as mom and dad, and the Scriptures made clear to us that in the regular family, we are to honor our mother and father. We are to make much of them. We are to look to them and see to their needs and so forth and so on. But to give them the honor that they are due by their position as a father and as a mother. And then the men, with younger men, we treat as brothers. And the girls we treat as sisters. But to remember that we are a spiritual family in Christ Jesus. So today we're going to pick up with number 3 at the bottom of page 2 of your notes. And I really enjoyed this one. This, I can't tell you how it radically changed my thinking and my approach to our Savior's church. Because the church is not only a fellowship and a family, but it is a body. A body. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 16. Let's read this together with some strength in our voices. Let's read it aloud together. The cup of blessing that we bless, is it not a participation in the blood of Christ? The bread that we break, is it not a participation in the body of Christ? Now, the answer to both of those questions is yes. But as we look here, the cup of blessing that we bless, you see, this is something we do together. We come together as a fellowship. We're in fellowship as we're doing this, as a family, and we come together, and it says, is it not participation in the blood of Christ? This word participation is the word koinonia, and it means fellowship. It means we are to be coming together, we are to be sharing in a close, mutual relationship, one with another and with our Lord Jesus Christ. So we come together in this way, and as we drink the cup, we are appropriating not the actual blood of Christ, but symbolically we are remembering when we received him into our lives as our Lord and our Savior. We are appropriating this, and we do this corporately as a family. The same thing with the bread. The bread that we break, is it not a sharing? Is it not a close mutual relationship in the body, the soma? And body here, it means a physical body, whether it be human, animal, or vegetable. It's talking about a real body. In this case, the body of Christ. Now, to be able to wrap our minds around this is might be difficult, but this is where the beauty begins to come in once you really land this in your heart. And that is to understand you and I, who are in Christ Jesus, we are the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. We are the body, the living body of Christ, the bride of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now look at 1 Corinthians 12, 27. Let's read this aloud together. Now you are the body of Christ and individually members of it. We are part of the spiritual body of our Lord Jesus Christ. And this is we are the unifying members of this spiritual body of Christ. Let's read together Ephesians chapter 1, verses 22 and 23. And he put all things under his feet and gave him as head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all and in all. You see, he is the head of the church. I'm not. The Council of Elders is not. He is the head of Granada Hills Community Church. We come under his head, those of us who are the pastors. He has this order of things. Here in Ephesians 5:23, let's read this aloud together. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, his body, and is himself its Savior. Just as the wife is to follow her head. If she is married, she is to follow her husband as the head of her family. He is her head. She is to follow him. He's president, she's vice president. Now, girls, don't get upset with me. If you want to get upset because you've been immersed in and propagated with feminism the last 40 years, you take it up with our Lord. But you will lose. The idea is as you follow your husband. Now, if your husband is saying, well, we're going to go out and rob a bank today. No, we're not talking about that. We're not talking about that. Again, it's render under Caesar what is Caesar's and under God what is God's. If your husband wants you to do something illicit, something immoral, something that the Word of God is very clear in telling us you should not participate in, then you don't follow your head. But you have a living example. You're to follow your husband if you're a wife. Just as we've learned in the past, the husband is to do everything, even to the point of death, to love his wife. And it's not an either or if he does or she does. This is the order of things. You see it right here in the scripture. He is the head of the church, our Lord Jesus Christ, which we are members of that body. And then in Colossians chapter 2, verse 19, let's read this aloud together. And not holding fast to the head, from whom the whole... Okay, I've got. I think this side working with me. I really would like us all to be reading the scripture aloud together. Okay, some people. Well, I didn't read it, therefore I don't know it. I'm not responsible. Yeah, you're all accountable. You're all accountable. All right, let's read it together again. Colossians 2:19, and not holding fast to the head, from whom the whole body, nourished and knit together through its joints and ligaments, grows with the growth that is from God. Without a vital connection to the head, the body of Christ will not grow. He is the vine, we are the branches. Unless we abide in him and he abides in us, there is nothing that we can do of any eternal value for him. So we need to understand that we need to be connected to the head, because we are parts of the body of Christ. The church is a body. Now, several places in the Bible, we see this term used to describe the church, a body. So here's your fill-in. The church is a body, not a business. We're not an organization. We are an organism. We're not a business. We're an organism. I looked in Wikipedia to get a better understanding of the English term here of organism. And it says, any contiguous living system. It consists of one or more cells. We are a multicellular system. Contiguous is talking about everything being next to each other, immediately next to one another. So we are a living being, the body of Christ. It is not a business. It is not part of what you see among some of the televangelists. We are an organism. We are alive in Christ. It's no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself up for me. I am to dwell in him, that he would dwell in me. I'm to spend a long time in him, all of my life here on earth. And he then will dwell in us. He will, his spirit will live in us this whole time. Again, he is the vine. We are the branches. It is from him that we glean our sustenance, our physical as well as spiritual strength. So let me ask you to consider a question. Do your body parts elect what they're going to do in your body? I mean, did your hand have to be voted in to do what it does? Now, our Creator Father, he created this hand and this one. I don't think I have any others. And he did so when I was in my mother's womb. And what do you do with these hands? Well, I can walk on them short distances, but they weren't made for that. You know, a hand can grab and hold on to something. A hand can make gestures. Hi. You know, a hand can touch something tenderly. It wasn't voted on. It was created that way. And when you came to faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, he gave you certain spiritual gifts for the purpose of serving him and his body. The church, the family, the fellowship. I mean, did your eye get elected to do what it does? No, it was created in your mother's womb, and it was created to do something. It was created to see. It was created so that the brain could see something and tell your hand to do whatever it needs to do. There's no voting. So what the Bible teaches is that because the church is a body, here's your fill-in, therefore we function on the basis of spiritual gifts, not elected offices. The problem when you have elections is sometimes you get people who just want to be a great big fish in a little pond. You know, in the corporate world, they're like 20 levels down from the top. But boy, in the church, you know, this guy, he's the big mucky muck over the flower committee. And no one gets a flower in the hospital list. He says so because it comes through his committee and he's the boss. We don't have a flower committee, I'm very grateful to say. But at GHCC, we're not looking for people who are looking for a title. If you're looking for a title in becoming part of our church family, I want to encourage you, go online, get a title. But here, all we're looking for is what Jesus wants. And that's individuals who love him and love his bride and are willing to serve him and serve the body of Christ. That's who we're looking for. We want to see people exercising their gifts in the church. Now, how do you know if you're a leader? Well, you don't get elected at GHCC to being a leader. If you're going to be a leader or you think you're a leader, all you have to do is this. Look over your shoulder. And if you don't see anybody back there following you, you're not a leader. Someone said this. I wish I could remember who it was, but he wrote this, and he said, where did I put it? Oh, he that thinketh he leadeth and hath no one following him is only taking a walk. Family, the Sunday I have to stand up here. And I have to look at Enoch or any of you and pound this pulpit and say, I'm your leader. What I just announced to you is that I'm not. I'm not. A leader will lead by vision. People will recognize that this person has a vision for the church. They will recognize, in our case, that it is a vision of the church, like we have a vision with a mission, and our mission is to fulfill the vision, and the way we fulfill our mission is through six core value teams. And if people see that you have a vision from God, then they will affirm you as a leader, because they will then get on board and say, I see God's hand on this, and I want to go too. I want to follow that person. This is why we don't elect leaders at GHCC, because they rise to the top and they just end up in positions of leadership. I sent out a letter to the entire church family, at least those of you that are in our directory, and you were made aware that we were going to be interviewing elder candidates. And it was interesting to me that five men were brought up by more than one person in the church to be considered as elder candidates. All but two said that they weren't ready. They did not aspire to be elders, at least at this time. So after I vet the last candidate, then they will be provided to you by name. And you will not vote on them. You will not, you know, he's got to get a two-thirds majority vote or something. No. We will simply have an affirmation. You will affirm one or both of these individuals, or you will not affirm. If they're not affirmed, then they will not go forward as our elders, or they join our elders. But if you affirm them, then they will be the newest elders, part of our council. So, look at Romans chapter 12, verses 4 through 6. Paul is writing to the church and he says, just as each of us has one body with many members, and these members do not all have the same function, so in Christ we who are many form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. Let me say that again, because we are independent American Christians. And we need to remember, and you've heard this before, but nonetheless, it's not something that seems to be grasped easily, and that is we are to be dependent Christians. I don't care if we're American or whatever. We are to be dependent Christians upon Christ and one another. For again, he says, and each member belongs to all the others. We each have different gifts according to the grace given us. And I'd also like if you would write this down, 1 Corinthians 12, verses 12 through 27. 1 Corinthians 12, 12 through 27. Read it this afternoon or sometime early this week as you reread this particular passage. Each member has a different ministry role in the body of Christ, whether you're here or any of the other 350,000 churches in America. Each member has a different ministry role in his body, if you're looking there at your notes. We believe in lay ministry. Our members operate a network of different ministries. All you need to do is check out our core value teams. And they're right there in your worship guides. You can see them. If you're new to the church, you can see what our core value teams are. And we invite you to become part of one of those core value, or more than one of those teams, if you have the time and the desire to. Going on, looking at your notes, in an organization, maintenance becomes its focus. But in an organism, such as the church, where we have spiritual gifts, ministry is the focus. Many churches have too many maintenance meetings, and that's the reason why no one's being shared the gospel of Jesus Christ, because everybody that's supposed to be sharing Christ, they're on the church campus having a meeting. Someone wrote this, and I always thought it was cute, and that is, Mary had a little lamb. It would have been a sheep, but it joined a local church and died for lack of sleep. At GHCC, looking at your notes, here's your fill-in, we have a simple structure so we can maximize ministry and minimize maintenance. I mean, think about it. We are a fellowship, and therefore we come together and we spend time with one another. We enjoy one another. We're committed to the Word of God, the learning of the Word of God, the sharing of the Word of God. We're committed to breaking bread with one another. We're committed to prayer, just to mention some of the things. You see, that's the fellowship, and we are a family. We enjoy the older people in our church family. I mean, Ronnie's here, and Ronnie's in his 90s. What you know, he is one of our ancient of days. You know, small a. But we treat each other as a family. Those of you who come in and really immerse yourself, you find, yes, we're a family. And then we had some newcomers in the church that just recently were telling me, I love it because you guys really are a family. And I do too. But we're also a body, and we are to function in a particular way for our Lord Jesus Christ. So at GCC, we have simple structure so that we can maximize ministry and minimize maintenance. Elders meet but once a month, as you can see there in your notes, and only more than that if there is a real need. We have We only have 2 business meetings a year for the business of the church, but if necessary, we can call additional meetings if we are in a building project, calling a senior pastor, or some other church-wide problem. We have several lay ministries that are encapsulated in 6 core value teams. And they call their own meetings. And it's important that they do have a meeting, and not for just the sake of coming together and having, a meeting. No, they come together because they're a team. They come together to love on each other. They come because they've been praying with one another, and they understand that here was an issue a month ago. You know, how's that going? These people are encouraged to call one another during the month, before the next meeting, to be praying with each other on the phone or here on campus if they see each other as they're in part a part of another small group. We're not to be one of those churches, everybody shows up on Sunday, everybody goes away, and they don't come together at any other time. Our core value teams need to come together to love on one another, to be encouraging one another, and yes, to think through what would the Lord have us as a team do going forward into this year to reach others for Christ? And what other core value teams do we need to invite their leadership to talk to their teams to join us in so that we can accomplish this worthy goal that has eternal value? I don't want people to be shackled to meetings. I want to see people released to do ministry. It's wonderful to hear that other people are going to the hospitals. It's wonderful to know that other people are going to visit our shut-ins and to love on them, to pray with them, to read scripture to them. I mean, I can't tell you how blessed I was when Daryl Safely was a part of the church and I was over here at Northridge Medical Center and he'd been all banged up, and there I am in the emergency room with him, and all of a sudden the nurse comes in and says, Pastor, you have to go. What do you mean I have to go? You're going to do something? And he says, no, we got another pastor out here and he wants to come in and see him. What other pastor? So I go out and it was one of you. And there were 5 more of you waiting to go in. You heard that he was involved in a traffic accident leaving church, and you guys just went over there. That is so good, because I'm not Christ. I cannot be everywhere. I can't be part of every meeting. I don't want to be a part of every meeting. I want a life. I felt so guilty yesterday. I was at my oldest grandson's championship CIF basketball game instead of home getting ready for tomorrow. And I mean, I have gone on this massive guilt trip. And by the way, he won. So now they have to go to the state championships, and for that I'll probably be saying, Gary, I want to go have a Sunday off. But anyway, the church outgrew me a long time ago. The church simply means to be not an American church, but Christ church, and continuing to grow in what we're doing, and that is to love the people of this church. Love them, sacrifice for them, seek their best and their greatest good at your expense. That's what we're supposed to do. Family, this thing about the body, I've gotten my 5-minute warning and doggone it, I'm not going to quite get there. But I want you to turn with me to Matthew's Gospel, chapter 25. Matthew's Gospel, it's not in your notes. Matthew's Gospel, chapter 25, because it comes into this thing about the body, which, and when I get here, finished with this, I'll be finished for this morning. I thought I'd get to the next point, but I won't. In Matthew's Gospel, chapter 25, and if you go up to verse 31, this is such a special time. Jesus is being quoted here by Matthew, and he says, "When the Son of Man comes in his glory, in his magnificence," is what that term's really saying, "and all the angels with him, then he will sit on his glorious throne. Before him will be gathered all the nations, and he will separate the people one from another, as a shepherd would separate the sheep from the goats. And he will place the sheep on his right side. Your right side, my right side. He will place them on his right side. I lost my place. Where are we going here? Okay. Anyway, 34. I'm going to pick up there. Because he's going to put the goats on the left. Then the king will say to those on his right, come you who are blessed by my Father. Inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. Now, this is where, if you underline in your Bible, I hope you'll start underlining, okay? He says here, for I, underline I if you mark up your Bible. I was hungry. He's not saying someone was hungry. Jesus is putting it in the first person. He's saying, I was hungry. And you gave me food. I, put a line under I was thirsty and you gave me drink. I was a stranger and you welcomed me. Line under I again. I was naked and you clothed me. A line under that I. I was sick and you visited me. A line under that I. I was in prison and you came to me. A line under that I. Then the righteous will answer him saying, I mean, these people are honest. And if you were the same way, I know you're the same way, you would be saying the same thing. He says, Lord, when do we see you hungry and feed you or thirsty and give you drink? And when did we see you a stranger and welcome you? Or naked and clothe you? And when did we see you sick or in prison and visit you? And the king will answer them. Truly, truly, I say to you, as you did it to one of the least of these, my brothers, you did it to me. The context, it's the sheep. It's the body of Christ. It's the fellowship. It's the church. So as you have come alongside and given food and come alongside and provided shelter, as you have come alongside and given clothing for people here in the church, you have been doing it to Jesus himself, he's saying. The body is an unusual, lovely, wonderful organism. And he is our head. And we're all part of it, those of us who are in Christ Jesus. But notice what he says here in verse 41. Then he will say to those on his left, depart from me, you cursed, into the eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry and you gave me no food. I was thirsty and you gave me no drink. I was a stranger and you did not welcome me. Naked and you did not clothe me. Sick and in prison and did not visit me. Then they also will answer saying, Lord, when did we see you hungry or thirsty or a stranger or naked or sick or in prison and did not minister to you? Then he will answer them, saying, truly, I say to you, as you did not do it to one of the least of these, you did not do it to me. And these will go away into eternal punishment, but the righteous to eternal life. See how special the body of Christ is. It's his body, and you are part of it. You are a living part of this organism called the body of Christ. He's our head. And as you minister, whatever it is that you do, you're doing it unto him. You're not doing it, oh, Ron wants me to do this. Oh, so-and-so wants me to do this. No. You're doing this for the Lord Jesus Christ. You're doing this for him. Gary was teaching this morning for him. Our people that are teaching our little kids now, they're doing it for him. And if they don't know in here that they're doing it for him, then we need to help remind them. We don't come to church to get, we come to give. And that's a radical notion to the church as well. You don't come to get, you come to give. You come to give him your worship. You come to meet him in spirit and in truth. You come to love on him. You come to sing to him. You come to learn of him. You come to give, like in a few moments, of our offerings, sacrificially. Our life is given to him. We are a living sacrifice made holy because of Christ, acceptable because of having responded to God's grace upon our life through faith in his Son, Jesus Christ. So we're special because we're a part of him. We dwell in him and he dwells in us. When the things we do for him. He is the living image of God in the face of all humankind. But here in the context of the church, as we do these things that we give, there's food that's needed to help our community. As you do that, you're doing it for Christ. As you come out and serve in that pancake breakfast, you're doing it for Christ. As you go to the banquet for the crisis pregnancy or open arms, we've called it crisis pregnancy for so many years, you're doing it for him. You're not doing it for them. You're not doing it for an organization. You're doing it for Jesus Christ and for his glory and for his honor because you're part of the church. Get it?
Got it.
I hope so. Good. But hold on to that. Really think about that. It'll change. It'll radically change the way you walk into the rest of today and the rest of your today's. Let's pray.